I wonder if you ever heard someone say, may not be to you directly, but you've heard this saying, stop boasting. I'm not looking at anyone particularly. Stop boasting. We had friends of ours, and their son was privileged to be the doctor in charge of the treatment of Prince Charles when he was a young college student. And our friends showed us a photograph of their son on the hospital steps with Prince Charles and the matron of the hospital when Prince Charles was better and was about to leave the hospital. And our friend showed us this photograph many years ago and said, of course, we're not proud, we're just thankful. That's a nice way of putting it, wasn't it? We're not proud, we're just thankful. Our son was treating Prince Charles while he was in hospital. Stop boasting. Stop boasting. Stop boasting. And yet Paul says to us in this letter, Galatians chapter 6, God forbid that I should glory or boast in anything, only in the cross of Christ. And that's our text, Galatians 6, verse 14. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. God forbid that I should glory or boast, save or only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And so here is a good boasting. It's something good to boast about, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the context for this verse, the background, as some of you may know, this letter to the Galatians, Paul was writing this letter to the church at Galatia. Many of them had come to put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then, as it were, wolves, not real wolves, but false teachers had come into the church and said something like this to these new converts, to these new Christians. Yes, it's good that you're trusting in the Lord Jesus, but you need something extra. Something extra in your faith. And that extra was circumcision. You need that. You need this addition. And what Paul is saying here is, you do not need anything to be added to the Christian faith or to the gospel. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, there are those who want to show you off. There are those who want to make you believe something plus and add to the gospel. And Paul says, rejoice, there is nothing to be added to the gospel. Nothing. Verse 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision avails anything or uncircumcision, but a new creature. The most important thing is that you've been saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Nothing else to be added. What the Lord looks for is a new creature. Remember how Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are become new. The Apostle Paul writes later on to the Philippian church. The same kind of problem had arisen in Philippi. And in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3 he says, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. We have nothing to boast of in circumcision. The gospel is sufficient in and of itself. So we need to hear that this morning, when many new things are being added, many young Christians are being led astray today. You need this plus. We need nothing but the gospel of God's grace to save us. We need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We need to trust and rely upon the Word of God alone. Sufficient
sufficient.
But we're looking at this lovely text. It's an amazing text of the apostle. But God forbid that I should glory only in the cross of Christ. Now the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ was not a beautiful gold gilded cross. There are many who wear such a cross today. But the cross of our Saviour, as you know, was just rough timber, hammered together crudely. And upon that rough cross, the beloved Son of God, the Saviour of the world, the second person of the Holy Trinity, was literally nailed, hands and feet, to that cross. How can you boast in such a dreadful thing in and of itself? This cruel, rugged cross on a hill far away. So the cruel, old, rugged cross. The Son of God bleeding into... How can you boast in that? What does Paul mean? What is the Spirit of God to say to us? God forbid that I should glory, not in a gold-studded cross, but in this rough, old cross where the Son of God bled and died, literally, for you and for me. Now, there are a number of lessons I want us to apply this morning in this text. First of all, may God ever deliver us from self-boasting. May God ever deliver us from self-boasting. The Apostle Paul says, God forbid. It's a very strong word that he uses there. Not just, may I be prevented from boasting, but God forbid. Beware, dear friend, of self-elevation. Beware of self-seeking. It's a tendency that we all have within us by nature. All of us by nature. We need to pray that God would deliver us from any spirit of self-elevation because of our reformed faith, because of our trusting in doctrine. Whatever it may be, we need to be delivered from self-elevation, self-glorification. Dear friend, in what have we to boast? Think about it for a moment. In what have we to boast? All that we can cry is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, unclean, unclean. Oh, wretched man that I am. As we've already reminded ourselves, all our righteousness in God's sight is as filthy rags. May God deliver us ever from any spirit of self-elevation, self-glorification. I often need to remind my own heart of the words again of the Apostle in 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Sometimes we can misinterpret that, or misuse it, or misspeak it. The Apostle Paul doesn't say, I am what I am by the grace of God. That's self-elevation, isn't it? That's me first. What does he say? But by the grace of God, I am what I am. The words of that lovely hymn, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. May God ever deliver us from self-boasting. God forbid. Secondly, may our boasting always be to the glory of God. God glorifying. Can you see that in our text? For the apostle says, God forbid that I should glory save or only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's the simple lesson for all our hearts. The second point, may our boasting always be God glorifying. What is Paul doing here? He's lifting up the matter for his boasting. What is it? The cross of Christ. May our boasting always be God honoring, God glorifying. Save only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That will always truly praise and please Him. Make much of the cross. Make much of the cross. Do you consider the reality of that cruel cross? Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Jehovah lifted up his rod. O God, O Christ, it fell on thee. Why should we boast in the cross? That place of suffering and shame and derision. Why should we make much of the cross? Well, for a number of reasons. First of all, the cross is the means of our salvation, isn't it? It's the means of our salvation. A price, as you know, I'm only bringing you things that you know, nothing deep. The cross, the price had to be paid for the debt that we owed. We could not pay that debt in and of ourselves. We glory in the cross of Christ because it is the means of our salvation. I want to ask you very simply, dear friend, this morning, have you ever come by faith to the cross? To the cross, with that burden of your sin, as you've repented and trusted in Christ. It's the means of our salvation. We ought to boast in it, for it was at the cross, we were blessed, we were saved, we were reconciled to God. That's why we want to boast in the cross of Christ. William Williams wrote that lovely hymn. I love the hymns of William Williams of Pantycael in Wales. The enormous load, listen to these words, the enormous load of human guilt was on my Saviour laid. Think of that. Your sin, my sin, laid upon Christ. And I've come to that cross and I found salvation. And He's my Saviour. He's my Saviour. I can boast in the cross because it is the means of our salvation. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. The sacrifice had to be found. A sacrifice had to be laid out which would wholly please God. Guilty, vile, helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was He. In my place, condemned He stood, sealed my pardon with His blood. Hallelujah! What a Saviour! I've now found peace with God. The Apostle Paul says to the Colossians chapter 1 verse 20, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Colossians 2, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. He took it out of the way, our burden of sin, nailing it to His cross. So we can boast in the cross of Christ. We can give God all the glory because there at the cross we found our Saviour. It is the means of our... If you're trusting in anything else, friend, It's vain, it's useless. We can boast in that cross. It's the means of our salvation. Secondly, we can boast in the cross because it is a completed work. You say, well, of course I know that. Are you resting in that? Of course you know it. Known it for years. Are you resting in that fact? As the psalmist says, rest in the Lord. Here it is. It is a completed work. In those wonderful words of victory, it is finished. As he hung upon the cross, from the lips of our Saviour, across the hills and valleys and mountains around, it is finished. Not the cry of a martyr, but the cry of victory. Are you resting in the finished work of Christ? 'Tis done, as the hymn writer says. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's, and he is mine. It must have been a wonderful moment if you had stood beneath that cross of Jesus and heard him said those words, it is finished. For then we read, the veil of the temple was rent in two. What does that mean? Well, it means that heavy curtain that kept out people from the Holy of Holies. Only once a year the high priest could go through and behind that curtain. Only once a year, that veil was now rent when Jesus cried, it is finished. It means that we have access. We have freedom to come. No curtain between us and God. God forbid that I should glory only in the cross of Christ. It is a completed work. We can now come with boldness to the throne of grace. Right into God's presence. Because of the finished work. That's why I want to glory in the cross. It's the means of my salvation. It is a completed work. But thirdly, we can glory or boast in the cross because, dear friend, it has a strong, compulsive power. What does that mean? It's like a magnet. You have a magnet and you hold it up to iron filings and so on, and the filings, they spring up to the magnet. And so it is with the cross of Christ. It has a strong, compulsive power. Jesus said in John 12:32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men. I love that. Like a magnet, the filings being drawn, strong compulsion. I will draw all men unto me. Well, you say, all aren't being drawn to the cross. My friends, my neighbours, members of my family, they're not saved. They're not interested in the cross. What do you mean? What do you mean, Mr. Preacher? I will draw all men. That means all kinds and all conditions of men. Rich and poor. And so, every tribe and nation, they're being drawn as the gospel is being preached in Zambia, throughout the world, as the cross is lifted up and preached. All men are being drawn. It has strong, compulsive power. Paul emphasizes this in Ephesians 2:16, that he might reconcile both unto God. What does that mean? Well, it means Jews and Gentiles in one body, listen, by the cross. By the cross. Having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. The cross, where it is preached in power, under the authority of the Holy Spirit, with unction, people will be drawn to the cross. Not drawn to the preacher, drawn to the cross. God forbid that I should glory. Why should we glory in the cross of Christ? Fourthly, because it fills me with full confidence. What does that mean? You might say, well, Mr. Preacher, you're now bordering on boasting of yourself. No, not at all. I take the words again of the Apostle Paul. It fills me with full confidence. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. I came not with excellency of speech, says Paul, or of wisdom. There's no boasting, you see. Declaring unto you the testimony of God. Listen. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It fills us with full confidence. So it did the apostle when he came to Corinth to preach the gospel. He determined not to know anything among them, only Jesus. Paul recognized that was sufficient. He didn't need addition to the message to make it more pleasant or more friendly and more user-friendly and more interesting to the youth. All these things are being spoken of today in church life to try and make it more attractive. My dear friend, Paul says, I determined not to know anything among you, only Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Here is a godly boasting. Fifthly, we can boast in the cross of Christ because it is the means by which God uses to extend His kingdom. We've already hinted at that, haven't we? As the cross is uplifted, it's like a magnet. Sinners had been drawn to Christ. It is the means by which God uses to extend His kingdom. How we should praise God when we see and hear of conversions where the cross is upheld. It is the means that God is pleased to use. So you read missionary magazines. I hope you do. I hope you take an interest in the extension of the kingdom around the world. So many churches, they don't do that today. That sense of missionary interest in many is missing. We're so self-centered. But it's encouraging to get missionary literature, to get the letters from Bernard and all around the world, and hear and read and see what God is doing where the cross is preached, where you know there's good biblical gospel preaching. It is the means that God has to extend His kingdom. Paul again, we are thankful today, aren't we? The Apostle Paul so often, here he is again, 1 Corinthians 1:23, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block. To the Greeks, foolishness. But unto them, which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. I trust that these verses, these texts, you can see they're all scriptural. It's not I'm bringing you, dear friend, my own ideas. Time and time again this morning, we're seeing from the scriptures, and especially from Paul, the importance, the need of preaching the cross. It is the means by which God extends His kingdom. Oh, we're nearly through. One or two more points. I won't tell you how many, so you'll keep alert. All right, point six. God forbid that I should glory only in the cross of Christ. Listen, it has transformed my view to all earthly attachments. You say, where'd you find that? In our text. It has transformed my view to all earthly attachments. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. What does that mean? It means just what I have said, quite simply. It has transformed my view to all earthly things, all the things which we attach so much importance. All the things that we feel we must have, all the things that seem to control and bind us here upon earth, so that we are easily able to forget eternity and spiritual blessings, that's what Paul is saying. The cross of Christ, when I view it in all its dignity, in all its glory, in all its majesty, it helps me to keep the right balance. It eases me from over-attachment to the things of this world, by whom the world is crucified to me, and I unto the world. Dr. Hendrickson helps us here. He says, by the power of the Holy Spirit, all those earthly pleasures and treasures, honors and values that tend to draw the soul away from Christ had lost their charm for Paul. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to live in hovels and have few possessions and not enjoy the things which God has given to us. God has given us richly all things to enjoy. But a balance. Beloved, we're not here forever. There's treasure laid up for us in heaven to be with Christ, which is far better. And I get my balance, I get my perspective, I see properly these things when I see them through the cross of Christ. Paul says in Philippians 3, verse 7, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but rubbish, dung, that I may win Christ. That's what I'm saying this morning. Thank God for every material blessing. Thank God for everything that you can enjoy day by day. But they're only temporary. The Lord can take them at any moment. Any moment. Cross of Christ. The cross we used to sing. The cross, it standeth fast. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for the cross. Seventhly, why can I boast in the cross of Christ? Because it acts as a challenge for us to imitate. It acts as a challenge for us to imitate. Now, we're not called upon to be literally nailed to a cross. Some brothers and sisters in Christ today are enduring similar sufferings for the sake of Christ. I'm not saying that. It acts as a challenge for us to imitate the spirit of self-sacrifice and love that Christ showed for you and for me should be reflected in the lives of those who claim to be the children of God. In that way, we are to imitate the sufferings, the cross of Christ. Listen to how Paul puts it in Philippians 2 verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It acts as a challenge for us to imitate, that we may be humble, that we may be kept lowly, that we may be kept clean and godly for his service. Paul's glory was not merely verbal, it was practical. He knew something of the sufferings of Christ, as we've already intimated, in the whippings and the beatings and the stocks. Matthew Henry says the cross of Christ is a good Christian's chief glory, And there is the greatest reason why we should glory in the cross. For to it we owe all our joys and all our hopes. We understand that the Greek word here for boasting that Paul uses is a basic expression which leads on to the word praise. Praise. It's unlike our English word, which necessarily includes so often the aspect of pride. So when Paul says, God forbid that I should glory or boast only in the cross of Christ, he's bringing in this element also of praise. Praise. Paul glories and he rejoices in the sacrifice of Christ. That's it. In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time, all the sacred light gathers round its head sublime. Horatius Bonner, the cross, it standeth fast. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Defying every blast. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The winds of hell have blown. The world its hate has shown. Yet it is not overthrown. Hallelujah! For the cross. For the cross. But there's one final reason I believe that we can glory in the cross of Christ. It is the place, listen, it is the place of constant healing. Constant healing. I'm not asking you to draw close to a crucifix. I remember going to visit a minister once, and in his study he had a crucifix, and I was very perplexed really. I said, why have you got that on your desk? The living Christ. I won't give you the answer that he gave me, but it is the constant place of healing. We don't have to come to a crucifix, but should there be any here this morning who are deeply distressed because they know that they have failed their Saviour, if there's anyone here this morning who is deeply distressed by the weight of guilt or sin, where do you go? Where do you take such? How can we help them? Well, it's good and right to take them to the cross. To the cross. It is as we stand beneath the cross of Jesus, when overwhelmed by our sin and shame and guilt, we can be healed. We can be forgiven. We can hear those wonderful words of pardon. Son, daughter, thy sins be forgiven. That's why we can boast in the cross of Christ. And I close again with the words of William Williams. The rage of Satan and of sin, of foes without and fears within, shall ne'er my conquering soul remove, or from thy cross, or from thy love. There is a fountain, beloved, distressed believer. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Ere since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die. God forbid that I should glory, nothing of myself, nothing of my Christian faith, nothing of my doctrine, nothing of what all that I possess. God forbid that I should glory only in the cross of Christ. Let us pray. Why, O Lord, such love to me. Lead us afresh, we pray, to Calvary, to that old rugged cross where Jesus died. Make this our boast, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.